want to turn with you for a little time tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I want to talk tonight. The title of the message tonight is The Verse Following John 3 and 16. That's the title of my message tonight. The verse that follows John 3 and 16. You know that John 3 is without doubt one of the great chapters in the Bible. It's full of texts and verses. It's full of themes and encounters. And it's a preacher's paradise. One could spend a mission just going through John 3 and 16. Probably the most well-known verse in the Bible comes from John 3, and of course that's John 3 and 16. And we all know John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I'm thinking tonight about the verse that follows John 3 and 16, because although John 3 and 16 is preached upon and has been preached upon, I could never number the times, and I'm sure nobody else could, but the verse following, not just preached about so much. And the verse following says this in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's the verse that follows John 3 and 16. Now let's look at the chapter just and go down it until we come to the verse, because there's a number of interesting things that we see, and when you try to break up the chapter, it simplifies it for everybody. It simplifies it for me, and it simplifies it for you. And when I look at this chapter, it begins with a soul that needed to be saved. A soul that needed to be saved. And maybe there's a soul here tonight, and you need to be saved. And I want you to listen if you're here tonight and you're not saved. But in this chapter, we have a soul that needed to be saved. It begins with a man called Nicodemus. The Lord's encounter with this man, Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he met with the Lord Jesus. And this man was a religious man. The Pharisees were the religious rulers of the day. This man was a religious ruler among the Jews. It's believed he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a religious man. And this man was not only a religious man, but he was a good man. He would be highly respected among his peers because of what he was. While most of the Pharisees despised Christ, this man saw that there was something good in him. There was something good in this man, Jesus Christ. There was something that appealed to him. So we see that he was a righteous man and that he was a good man. And we see that he was a seeking man, because it says he came to Jesus by night. He waited until the darkness fell, and then he made his way to the Lord Jesus. After all, he was a Pharisee, and it wouldn't have done for the Pharisees, the rulers of the Pharisees, to see one of their own coming and seeking to talk to Jesus, because they hated Jesus, they despised him. But this man came seeking the Lord because he felt that there was something more to what his religion could offer him. So he was a religious man, and he was a good man, and he was a seeking man. But he was a lost man. He was a lost man. In spite of his religion and who he was and what he was, this man was a sinner. He was lost in sin. And there's many people today like this man, lost in sin. Some are religious. Others are churchgoers. Some pay into the church. Some work for charity. They do their best. They pay their bills. But just like this man, they're lost in sin. So he's a religious man, and he's a good man, and he's a seeking man, and he's a lost man, and if he's a lost man, then he's a needy man. He's a needy man. This man needed to be born again. And the Lord Jesus wasn't behind the door and telling him so. Because at the first opportunity, Jesus looks into his eyes and he says, listen, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All arguments are by the way. No more arguments, he says, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And that's the need of all men and women today. No matter who you are, no matter what you have, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter how many times you go to church, no matter what position you hold in church, no matter what side of society you belong to, the fact of the matter is this, you need to be born again. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a churchman or not, whether you live on the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road, the fact of the matter is this, because you're a sinner, you need to be saved. So if there's a person here tonight and you're still in your sins, you need to be saved. So the chapter begins with a soul that needs to be saved. And then we find as we read on a little bit, we see in the chapter not only a soul that needs to be saved, but a story that needed to be told. Because the Lord Jesus, now he has pointed out to this man that he needed to be born again, he needed to be saved. How does he go about it? And Christ reminds him about that Old Testament story away back in the book of Numbers. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and he's taking him back to when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, they sinned against God. God sent judgment into their midst, and many fiery serpents came and bit many of the children of Israel, and many of them died. And you remember how that they came to Moses, and they said to Moses, plead to God for mercy and ask God to have mercy upon us. And so Moses did that. And God spoke to Moses and he said, tell the children of Israel to make a serpent of brass, to put it on a pole, lift it up in the camp of Israel, and everyone that looks to the serpent of brass shall live. And that's what happened. Moses told them what God had said. They make the serpent of brass, they put it on a pole, they lift it up in the midst of the camp, and everyone that looks to the serpent of brass, neither cured from the bite of the serpent, they're saved from perishing. And then he makes the application. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you see, friends, if souls are going to be saved from perishing in their sins, the Son of Man had to be lifted up. The Son of Man had to come from heaven down to earth and go to the cross at Calvary, and he had to be lifted up there to die on the cross. He had to die for sinners, that whosoever would look to him like the people look to the serpent of brass, whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we see here the necessity of the cross. We see why Calvary is so important, why Calvary is vital to each one of us. The Son of Man needed to die for our sins so that we could be saved from the penalty of sin. So here we have a soul that needs to be saved. Jesus is talking to him, tells him he needs to be born again. Then he begins to explain how he can be born again. and what needed to happen. So we see a soul that needed to be saved, a story that needed to be told. And then as we look at the chapter again, we see a sermon that people needed to hear. Because after he explained to him that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, friends, this is a sermon that needed to be told. And the message that people needed to hear was that God loved them. They were perishing. They were like the people in the wilderness. They were lost in sin. They were needy. But God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son, who came and was lifted up on the cross for sinners to be saved. A holy God required a sacrifice for sin. He required the blood of a spotless substitutionary lamb to be shed so that sinners could have a Savior to turn to and to put their faith in. And so God's Son was lifted up on Calvary's rugged tree and shed his precious blood to die for you and me, that we might have eternal life. And this is the good news for people that are lost tonight, for those who are in need of salvation and forgiveness. It's good news that there's a Savior. Now that brings us to our verse. We've got there at last. A soul that needs to be saved, a story that needed to be told, a sermon that people needed to hear. God loved them. And then we see here he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's a Son that needed to come. A Son that needed to come. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, friends, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, or to judge the world, or to pass sentence upon it. And that would have been a quite easy thing to do. For the world deserved to be judged. He sent his Son so that men and women might be saved. That's the powerful thing. God could have righteously judged the world, blotted it out, banished our souls to a Christless eternity. But God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, when Christ came into this world, it was a sinful world. And the world you and I live in today is a sinful world. I don't need to tell you that tonight. If you take an acrostic of the word world and take the letters of it, you take the letter W, that reminds us of the wickedness of the world, the wickedness. Well, we live in a wicked world. We see the things that are happening across our world today. People's bodies being mutilated because of their faith, because they're a Christian. My dear friends, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In the days of Noah, it says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And as God looks down tonight into this world, what wickedness he sees. The wickedness of man's heart, the wickedness of man's actions. But God sent not a Son to condemn the world. He sent a Son that the world might be saved. A wicked world. If you take the letter O, It speaks of the offenses of the world. My, what offenses! A holy God hates sin. All the sins that you commit are an offense against God. You remember the psalmist said, against thee only have I sinned. You may sin against your neighbor, but it's a sin against God. My, if you take the letter R, it speaks of a rebellious world. People have rebelled against God. People are rebelling against the authority in every department of life, and they've rebelled against God today in our age and in our so-called Christian country. If you take the letter L, it's a lustful world. The lusts of the flesh and the lusts of money. And we read about the lusts of the flesh in God's word. If you take the letter D, it's a world that's domineered by the devil. And we look around us today and we see the devil's hand in everything, you know. See his hand in everything. This is the world in which you and I live tonight. Yet the amazing thing is this, that God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's beyond our comprehension. That a holy and just and righteous God could have so easily condemned the world and judged it and blotted it out. But he didn't send his Son to do that. He sent his Son that the world through him might be saved. Dear friends, God sending his Son reminds us of the incarnation, doesn't it? When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent his Son to be the Savior. And to be the Savior, Christ came into the world to die the just for the unjust as a sacrifice for sin. He came to shed his precious ruby blood to pay the price for sin. My, the price has been paid tonight. The work has been completed. And he rose again the third day as a living Savior for all them that would repent and come to him. And on the foundation of the finished work, salvation has been purchased for all that will believe. I'm nearly finished. A soul that needs to be saved. A story that needed to be told. Yes. A sermon that people needed to hear. A son that needed to come. And the final thing we see tonight is a step that you need to take. A step that you need to take. This text is telling us that men and women deserved to be judged, but they can be saved. They can be saved. It's telling us that salvation is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's telling us that it's by an act of faith, because the verse following John 3:17 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Dear friends, tonight the truth is that a holy God could have righteously judged us and cast us into hell, but he sent his Son instead to die for us, so that we could be saved. But you need to remember that you need to take that step of faith. And if you don't take that step of faith and receive Christ as your Savior, then that judgment of a holy God will fall upon you. Dear friends, tonight God forbid that you would lift your eyes in hell, knowing this, that God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him can be saved. God forbid that you would lift your eyes in hell, knowing that salvation was within reach, but you missed it. May you take that step of faith tonight. May you receive the Son of God as your Savior. And maybe, as in this chapter, there was a soul that needed to be saved. Maybe there's a soul in this meeting tonight that needed to be saved. I hear people talking to me today and they say, you know, don't know what you fellas keep on preaching the gospel for. Sure, the meetings are full of believers. There's no one saved there. Tell me this, how do you know? How do you know there's no one saved here tonight? You don't know. And neither do I. Dear friends, if there's a soul not saved tonight, will you come? Will you take that step of faith? Will you come and trust him? And he has promised to be your Savior. May God bless his word. Amen.